Wednesday of WrestleMania week. It's day 3 of 7 Days 7 Podcasts. My name's Kenny McIntosh and I'm joined by Sondra. She feels that she's on a vacation, not just because she's in New York City, but because I'm not forcing her to do two podcasts every single day. And she's going to be venturing out to New Jersey, and she's going to get an Ubers that will definitely have the registration number that she booked under, because I'm going to make sure she does after what happened in Texas.
Oh no, what happened in Texas?
Did you see this?
No.
This is like bad.
So wait, did someone die?
This is like a proper lesson. Like, hi everybody.
Hi. I'm in New York City, and you're going to hear the sounds of New York in the background because we're in an apartment and we can't really control it, but it's exciting.
New York City. Anyway, so in Texas, there was a girl who was like in her 20s or something. She was on a night out, and she got in an Uber, and it wasn't her Uber, and she was murdered.
Oh, no.
So the lesson is, and this is not a girl thing, guy or girl, if you're getting an Uber, make sure you know the registration number. And make sure you get in the right one, because you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, I'm definitely, like, very, like, license plate checker person. Like, very much so. And, well, I mean, there was actually an Uber, like, murderer in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is...
I mean, when you live in Kalamazoo, Michigan, shouldn't you just run to the Uber murderer?
Well, no, I mean, the thing is, my brother drives for Uber, like, in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So, the fact that there was, like, a guy who decided to drive for Uber and then murder some people... wasn't great.
No, it's not. I'm pouring a vodka Coke Zero here.
It's true.
Just
I have a vodka and orange juice. This is what we're doing.
So yeah, this is going to be a bit of a shit show.
Because I need to leave for a pizza party show in like an hour. And we just got here and we're trying to like catch up, but also trying to provide content for you lovely people.
Exactly. And I think, oh shit, I did not realize it was that part of the table when I stretched my leg out. No, because the thing is, last year when we did 7 Days 7 Podcasts, there was two bits of feedback. People loved the content, but also I think there's maybe not enough time to listen to all of it, especially when there's so much going on. So that's why we decided now to do one podcast every day, which will either be main feed or Patreon.
And so that, like, both of us aren't reduced to tears at any point in the week because we can't get it all done and scheduling conflicts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, because, like...
There was a bit of a breakdown.
There was a bit of a breakdown, but it's fine. We're back. And I can announce this, actually. This is a really cool Patreon exclusive that's going to be going up on Friday. On Patreon, we're going to have a main... So tomorrow on Patreon, Thursday... We're going to have Power Slam 24 hours early. Then on Friday on the main feed, you'll get Power Slam. But on Patreon, I'm going to be talking to Keith Elliott Greenberg about his Madison Square Garden memories from all the shows that he's went to at the Garden.
That's really cool.
So I think that's going to be really good.
I mean, I could listen to Keith tell stories pretty much all day.
I mean, he's going to probably be living at this point.
Yeah, which is exciting because I love talking to Keith. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah, he's great. So he's going to be here. So we're just going to kind of talk about a bunch of shit, and that's going to be the hour. Let's open up with the John Oliver stuff. Last week tonight. I feel like it's like an autistic person's nightmare trying to say that, because I can't even do it. Last week tonight with John Oliver, he does this piece, 23 minutes, about WWE, Vince McMahon, the whole independent contractor debate that has gone around for a long time. Now, I think that mostly everybody would agree that like what he was saying was factual. I think that in some ways it was a little bit skewed to fit the narrative of the comedy he was telling, which is what you do when you're doing that kind of thing. But I guess for you, Sondra, overall, you're maybe not more of a WWE fan, but you watch more of it, you cover more of it than you ever have before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you feel
now that I've been promoted to the main roster of Inside the Ropes?
Only because your co-host died. And then my left.
Rest in peace, Bob. Wish you were here. He would have been here, though.
Oh, don't.
Because he lived in New Hoboken.
Aww. We've old. So,
Why are you 62?
That's old. So, what did you think about it? Like, because I guess there's a lot of people... You're an interesting person to ask about it because I'm too much of a WWE sympathizer in a lot of ways, where I might give them a free pass on more stuff. David hates the ground they walk on.
Yes.
So you're kind of the middle person.
I'm more the moderate here,
so
for
where
sure.
Would you, talk me through your complex thoughts on the piece overall and what you thought of it, where it goes from here, etc., etc.
I mean, I think it was very well presented. I think it was definitely one-sided, and it was definitely one-sided to present a certain point of view, but all of the stuff he was saying was factual and wasn't a surprise. Like, there were certain things in the piece where, I mean, as someone who's so inundated with wrestling all the time and so entrenched in wrestling and so entrenched in WWE and wrestling culture, it was like, yes, obviously this is information that I knew. So like some of my nitpicks on the segment were, you're using a lot of Attitude Era and early 2000s footage to illustrate your point. Like, couldn't you have found something newer? Or, well, that clip from Wrestling with Shadows was technically before Owen Hart died, but... like, because there's little things like that that you notice, and but I think the points were all very valid, and I think it was presented in such an interesting way that you don't normally see in mainstream media, because a lot of times mainstream media will equate wrestling with WWE, right? Like, what John Oliver was presenting was that wrestling is the fucking best thing in the world, because it is. Like, that's why we're all here. We love wrestling. We love how bonkers it is. But he very much presented WWE as a corporation that has some things to answer for. And I think that it's no surprise that WWE is a corporation that has some things to answer for. I think it's interesting that it's coming at this time when AEW is starting to be a thing, and AEW has already toyed with the idea of, you know, giving health insurance to their performers and that kind of thing. I think that this segment is going to ensure that that happens.
What, because again, to try and... WWE should absolutely be taken to task on some of the stuff. But, like, what's interesting is AEW do not give health insurance to the performers, and Dave Meltzer had said that they are not intending to right now because they don't have enough money to...
No, they put out a nebulous tweet that it was a future goal,
yeah,
right?
But then, and I guess the reason that WWE never did it in the 90s was because they could not afford to do it. When you know, like, if you watch the dark days of 1995, King of the Ring equals coma... that, like, they couldn't afford to do it. I think where this becomes an interesting piece for everybody is that now they do have the money. You know, there's a projection that in 2020 that they're going to have a $300 million year. So I guess now there's kind of a... So before, your argument might have been, well, we don't have the money to accurately give everybody healthcare and their families and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, I think this is right. If anybody in WWE gets injured... that they get full help. But then, you know, the one thing that you know, you kind of have to bring up, and Dave Meltzer brought it up, and I'm glad he did, because it's the one that I remember, is Sensational Sherry was one of my favourites, and Sherry Martel took a lot of bumps as a manager, and she had permanent back problems. She was told she needed a back surgery to save her life, and she died from pain medication that she was taking because she couldn't afford the surgery. So maybe they need to look at something... not only given current performers health insurance, but something where we kind of go, right, how can we maybe try and look after some of our former stars? And it's not like a handout thing. It's not like, you know, because you worked for WWE that, you know, if you're doing, I don't know, DIY work in your garage and you fall over, they should pay for, you know, 2 months of you living. But if there's wear and tear in your body from that company, then there's got to be an argument that those people deserve something for what they put their bodies through.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things John Oliver brought up. And he did mention that WWE provides rehab for a lot of people, right? Like, there are a lot of people who, especially in the past, have been addicted to pain medication because of what they've gone through wrestling for WWE and other companies. And WWE does pay for rehab for any past performer who reaches out, unless you've done it 6 times and burned your bridges. So, you know, but, and that's a good service. That's the thing, is that WWE does do some good things, but sometimes it feels like the good things they do are to put a facade on it.
Yes.
And to say that, you know, oh, we provide rehab for our performers, though. And John Oliver said, rightly, he was like, but you're not addressing why they're getting addicted to pain pills in the first place. And that's something that does need to be addressed. I mean, stuff like an off-season for performers would make a lot of sense. I listened to you and David on Over to You mentioning that it would make sense to give people, like, a 3-month break, because not only would it be better for the wrestlers and for their bodies, but it would be better for storytelling and it would be better for keeping people fresh and exciting and not overexposed. So I think those are conversations that I hope are going on in WWE. I don't think that WWE is going to have that much of a reaction to this segment, honestly.
So they've invited John Oliver to WrestleMania.
They have to, quote-unquote, learn more about our business.
Learn more about our company. It's like, look, we're here spending, you know, most of our money of the year to be here for that event. So we're on site.
I mean, and in a way you could say we're complicit because we are spending money on the company.
But then, you know, then you've done the whole crown jewel argument, which I always go back to.
Or shopping at Walmart or owning an iPhone.
Do you want me to come to your home and look through your DVD collection?
Right.
But I think the thing that's kind of interesting is that the way that WWE put that thing out to John Oliver just kind of felt like, it felt quite false. You know, come and learn about our company.
And what are you going to learn from going to WrestleMania?
I mean, you're going to have a great time.
Of course. If I were John Oliver, I'd be like, fuck yes, I'm going to WrestleMania. But
do you know, wrestlers should, because I don't know how many people who are listening to this know exactly. If you're a WWE contracted wrestler, you get, and this is like most of the roster, maybe like guys like, I think it even applies to Roman and different people. I mean, they obviously get more bonuses, but I think that if you work for WWE, if you are working somewhere the next night that's over 300 miles away, you get a plane ticket. If it's under 300 miles, you need to drive. You don't get your rent car paid for you. You don't get your gas paid for you. You don't get your hotels paid for you. But you get your airfare for anything over the 300 miles. And also, I think for WrestleMania week, they do they pay for the hotels at WrestleMania week as well. So that's kind of what you get right now. So if you're a guy who's on $150,000, I mean, realistically, you spend, a third of your salary on road expenses?
Yeah, I mean, like, the guys who are lower on the roster, I remember Tyler Rex talking about this back in the day, right? Like, I mean, there's a name from the past, but I remember him saying that it was costing him more money to still be a contracted WWE performer because of the travel he had to do and because, like, hotel costs and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there are people who are lower on the card who, like, I mean, to someone like me, $150,000 a year sounds like tons and tons and tons of money. But I'm not driving across the country or flying across the country every day either.
I think that's a lot of money to anybody. I think the issue is that for that 150 grand, you're needing to work. Because I guess if you're a wrestler, you've got to think about it differently. So you work in a liquor store and podcast. That's your two jobs. My job is I podcast and I promote tours. I can do my job well in my 70s. You can do your job well in your 70s. If you're a wrestler, you have got to maximize the money you can make in your 30s.
And also consider health insurance in America is not cheap.
Greatest country in the world.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I mean, there's a reason that I personally don't have health insurance, because it would cost me over $400 a month. And I cannot afford that. You know, like, it would cost me as much to have health insurance as it does to pay my mortgage every month. And that's with, you know, like a $10,000 deductible. So it doesn't even cover services until I've paid $10,000 out of pocket. Health insurance in America is insane. I used to work in the system. If you want more information, contact me. I'm not going to go into it here. But for someone who's a professional wrestler, having health insurance is necessary because they work in a job that's incredibly high risk, and there's a very good chance that they're going to need healthcare at some point. So if you're a professional wrestler in America, then that's another thing to consider, right? Like, healthcare is not cheap. There are so many people in this country who are bankrupt because of healthcare. And, like, obviously, if you're an independent wrestler, you're not going to be getting health insurance from anywhere because you're an actual independent contractor. But for a company like WWE, who requires that you work for them, requires what days you work for them, requires that you can't work anywhere else to supplement your income, the whole independent contractor thing is insane to me. And I was really surprised that Oliver didn't mention Linda McMahon in the segment, because I think he focused so much on Vince. And I think some of the comedy actually was a little overdone for me. I know it's a comedic segment, but showing Vince McMahon get his, you know, face shoved into Rikishi's ass or whatever, it almost felt like seeing Vince McMahon, the character, get comeuppance is sort of whitewashing over the fact that Vince McMahon, the person, hasn't had to be taken into account for this, right?
Yeah, and I think that there's, because I saw people in the Facebook community stuff talking about it, and look, I think that it definitely needs to change, it definitely needs to get better. I've heard a lot of stories from people who I know or people who I've met who worked in WWE who have said, you know, Vince does care about people. So I don't think it's necessarily that he's just this, like, evil monster who just doesn't care. I think it's just that you know, he didn't do it earlier on because he couldn't afford it. Now he can afford it, he probably should do it. And there needs to be a little bit of a push to get it. Like, for example, if every wrestler who was on WrestleMania was to turn around and say, do you know what? We're not performing until you give us health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He would be screwed, but like that's not going to happen.
But then you get into the unionizing debate, right?
Which Jesse Ventura tried to start in the 80s. So we should kind of wrap summarize this for moving on. Do you think there's any comeuppance or any sort of like blowback, or does this just kind of go away?
I mean, I think it ultimately goes away, because I think that it's similar to when John Oliver did his segments in Saudi Arabia, right? Like, obviously those Saudi Arabia shows were still going to happen, but the way they promoted them or didn't promote them, as the case may be, did change. So I think that it almost might have more of an effect on smaller companies, or on companies like AEW, or I don't know, like Impact or whoever might take more of an issue with it and change their ways.
Yeah.
I don't think that WWE is in a position where they need to change anything. Like, they are the only game in town. They are the biggest company. They are going to be able to do what they want to do, and people are still going to buy what they're doing, right? Like, they are more profitable now than they've been in the past, despite declining ratings, despite fan complaints, despite people saying WWE is shit, right? They are a very profitable company, and they're going to do what benefits them. But I hope that the conversation in the future is it worth working for WWE? Do we have all their other options? And, you know, I just
hope if you work elsewhere, you don't even get what WWE offers you.
Exactly.
You would, if you work, I don't want to name names, I don't know, but I know that there's definitely independents where you don't even get the rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joey Janela, where did he injure his knee or whatever it was?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, if you're an independent wrestler, then you are an actual independent contractor, because you work for multiple companies and none of those companies are going to provide that healthcare for you. So that's all on you.
Yeah. So weigh in with us what you think.
Overall the segment was great, and like, my coworker doesn't watch wrestling at all. Like, she knows that I'm super into it. She watched the segment and thought it was really well done and brought up some interesting points. There was a lot of new information for her, so it was interesting talking to a non-wrestling fan about it, and someone who's interested in business practices and whatnot. Like, it came across really well, and I guess one of the things I just want to point out is you could tell that John Oliver respected wrestling as a thing in the segment too, which I thought was super cool.
Also, I think the lesson to all of us is that Vince McMahon saying the N-word in 2005 has not aged well.
Funny enough, I don't think it was great then.
No, as someone who was watching, you know, I remember watching it at the time and thinking it's funny in a kind of a, oh my God, this is ridiculous kind of way.
Like, this senile old man, what is he doing?
Yeah, senile old man saying this. So I'll give you an example. So I was up in Mull with my friend Kerry and her friends and stuff, and her dad, her friend Darren was there, and his dad was there. And we're all sitting chatting, and the dad obviously doesn't know me, and he goes, and we ended up talking about how when Kerry had, we went to an Alan Cumming show in Edinburgh, and she started trying to sing during it, and I was like, I did not pay to hear you sing. I paid to hear him. And then the grandpa, Darren's dad, just went, is that that poof off the telly? Not knowing about me.
Oh.
And then everybody was kind of laughing because they knew that I would be, well, I'm the least person affected by a senile old person saying the word poof. It makes me laugh. But I think that was kind of the way that people kind of laughed at the Vince thing, because I think that was the intention of it. I think the problem is that when 2 years before an African-American performer, Booker T, you know, his story, which is kind of not the Kofi Kingston story, but there's elements to it you can pull to be similar, he didn't overcome over the white man.
So, right.
What do you want to talk about next?
We've got
a lot of listener questions.
Do we have a lot of listener questions? I mean, we definitely want to go into Raw and SmackDown. We just don't have time to go through both shows in their entirety. Should we just do listener questions and see what comes up?
Yeah, let's do listener questions, see what comes up. And then, oh my God, there's a lot of them. Okay, let's just go through them. Jake Chandler asks, match you're most looking forward to at WrestleMania besides the main event?
Okay, because it would have been the main event for sure. Becky, Ronda, Charlotte. I'm super excited about that, especially after the Raw segment. And, I mean, just everything about it I'm excited about. I think Kofi versus Bryan. actually. I think that is probably my second choice in terms of WrestleMania matches. It's the other one that has the best story, right? Which is cool because both of them contain SmackDown performers. And even though I do both shows now, I still like have this SmackDown fondness. Mm-hmm. But it is cool that the WWE title has a lot more going into it, I feel, than the Universal title for once. Because I can't remember the last time that happened. And not to say that Brock versus Seth hasn't been a good build. I think it has been decent. But
I think Brock and Seth is one of the ones that when they get in the ring, then it's go time. Then people are going to be very excited about it. I genuinely think, and I know I always feel whenever I say something good, people are going to go, oh, well, he's always something good. I think the card's really strong. You've got Roman and Drew. You've got Triple H and Batista. You've got, I'm looking forward to AJ and Orton. Like,
I
what
am
is happening?
Too.
Like, I'll tell you, this is my prediction. AJ Orton should open the show.
Yes,
that
I agree.
That is, it'll get people hot, it'll get people going, because what they did was they went, okay, what is the best thing to do here? Let's be real. The SmackDown segment was great, you know, like Orton calling him a corporate bitch, AJ saying, you know, he was, you know, off getting suspended for drug violations, and it's like, it's all, we talk about work shoot stuff a lot on Retro Run now. For me, they've taken a match that I had no interest in, and through two, to me, very hot segments, it made me go, do you know that no longer is a piss break match now? I want to see what happens.
Well, and the thing is, with the work shoot that they were doing on SmackDown, because I did watch that on the plane today, I think this is the type of work shoot stuff that works for me. And I can't always put my finger on when it works and when it doesn't. But this didn't feel like, you know, Randy Orton wasn't going, I'm not Randy Orton talking to AJ Styles. I'm Randy Orton talking to Alan Jones. Is that his last name? I can't even remember.
Yes, Alan Jones.
You know, like, they didn't have to go to that, like, place where it's like, oh my gosh, you mentioned his shoot name, brother. But they mentioned real things in the past, right?
I like the Hulk Hogan gets to be mentioned.
But it's one of those things where, yeah, like, Randy Orton was getting suspended for drug violations. I remember covering it on Inside the Ropes and laughing because Randy Orton was a cretin, even before he burned down Bray Wyatt's house. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that storyline-wise it made sense to bring into the feud and doesn't take you out of it. Like, it doesn't make you suspend your disbelief too much. It actually adds to the story. And these guys just being like, hey, we're two veterans of the industry who started in very different ways and took very different paths to get here. It works for me as a story. Like, is it the match that I'm most invested in because I love both of those performers very much? No, it's not. But I think they told a good story on television and got me more interested, which is a credit I can give to them. But to answer the original question, Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston is the match I am second looking forward to most because, I mean, that was just an unexpected story that came out of nowhere and is perfect. I'm sure we'll get more into that.
They listen to the fans?
They listen to the fans for once. Like, WWE hasn't done that for years. And this is an example of them going with what was hot, when it's hot, striking at the exact right time, which they have struggled with in the past. And so I give them credit for it.
I would agree with you. Kofi Bryan is the second most looking forward to match. But there's a lot of stuff on the show. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing the WWE title match, what Drew does with Roman, Balor's the Demon, AJ and Orton, I think, could be a silent hit, like almost like Shane and AJ from a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Which is, again, a reason why it should open the show.
Yeah.
Because that opened the show, too, and it was really good.
Triple H, Batista, No Holds Barred, Shane and Miz.
I mean, actually, Shane versus Miz. I'm super into that match, too. I hope that, you know, Shane McMahon doesn't die throughout it. But I loved on SmackDown Shane having Greg Hamilton announce him as best in the world.
My favorite bit of that was not that bit, but later on when Shane went, oh, one more thing. And then Greg goes, but ladies and gentlemen, no, not again, Greg.
Yeah, he's like, no, that's overkill. That's enough. You've already announced me as best in the world. I thought Greg Hamilton killed it.
It goes in with my theory. I've said with Greg Hamilton for a couple of years when we went to that house show in Aberdeen and there was a US title match and Bobby Roode was the champion and when there was a match with Bobby Roode and Ziggler or a three-way and as somebody went for a pinfall, Greg Hamilton had the belt in his hand, stood up as if he's about 10 ounce because he believed the match was going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
House show in Aberdeen.
See, Greg Hamilton is incredible. I love him. Like, I've seen him, you know, host and manage NXT live shows that I've been to as well. Like, that's where I saw him first. And I think he's great at his job.
Laura wants to know, completely unrelated, but how are you and Hulk doing? Hulk is great. Hulk is staying with some dog friends this week. I'll put a video up on Twitter today. He actually went into a mirror and started smiling.
It's the cutest thing ever. Like, he was admiring his own smile in the mirror. I'm in love with your dog, and I don't know when I'm going to get to meet him, but it has to happen in the next, like, year and a half or so.
I mean, I'm sure you'll meet before the end of the year. Patrick wants to know, should the Universal/WWE, USIC, and the Raw and SmackDown tag titles also be unified, since we rarely get compelling stories for all of them at the same time? So, it's interesting that Patrick asks that, because there is the element of, you know, the one title always does feel a little bit less, but then they've never really been able to do a unified belt until that story, because then, like, if you're, oh my god, do you have to drag that loud?
Sounds of New York, everyone.
If, for example, you know, if you're a universal, if you're a unified women's champion, you're Becky Lynch, and you're feuding with Asuka on SmackDown, it's also going to be hard for you to be feuding with someone on Raw when you're going to be facing Asuka at a pay-per-view. So what do you think the answer is?
So, I don't know if you even remember this, but back when the brand split was announced, right? Like, remember the first day they announced it was going to be Raw and SmackDown Live, they were splitting the rosters, they were doing the draft, everything was happening. I was very against the idea of two titles because I thought that it would be a lot more interesting and a lot more prestigious if there were one champion floating between brands, because then, you know, the fewer titles there are, the more they mean. So when I say that I'm against unifying the women's titles, which it doesn't sound like they're doing, if it's winner takes all, that means that the person is both Raw Women's Champion and SmackDown Women's Champion, could float between brands. Like, we don't know that there's a unification afoot.
I don't think there is a unification afoot.
I don't think there
there's
is.
No,
not
no
yet,
report,
anyway.
There's no reports to it. I think the idea...
Because when they unified the world title and the WWE title, it was very much like, this is the unification ladder match for the championship of the galaxy of the universe.
I genuinely think the reason they did it is that they want to make sure that you know, that big match that's going to have these three women's main event at WrestleMania, that both belts were involved in that match. And I think it's a smart call, because you kind of want to have that... You want to have the SmackDown belt be prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's involved, Becky's raising that at the end. I mean,
it sucks because of Asuka.
It sucks for Asuka. It really sucks for Asuka. But I feel like where they got to, I think it was probably the right call. Because I think if Asuka Lacey Evans...
If you take
Asuka
my Asuka feelings out of it,
yeah.
Like, if you take my feelings about her as a performer out of it, it's absolutely the right call, because her title reign sucked and it didn't mean anything and there was no match on the show was going to be important.
If she beat Lacey Evans, which actually, I mean, Lacey Evans might have beat her, that's one of the issues. If she beat Lacey Evans and she beat Mandy Rose, I almost think it's like a fart in a church.
Yeah.
It's like, well...
Well, it would have felt very mid-card. I mean, the SmackDown Women's title has felt very mid-card for a long time, because it feels like the old Divas belt, where everyone had a chance at it, because it wasn't an elevated world title that was prestigious. It was just, you know, the title that's there because you have to have it, because there are women and they demand to be people. And, you know,
really?
I mean, it's ridiculous of us, I know. But... It seemed like a belt that was there because it had to be there. So if you're talking like unifying all of the belts and unifying everything and making all of the champions float between brands, I actually am kind of in favor of it, because I think that it would force more mid-card storytelling, and it would make pay-per-views a lot less cluttered. You could actually have grudge matches on pay-per-views, because right now, if all of the titles are supposed to be defended on those pay-per-views, it's so crowded,
yeah.
Even on a 4-hour show. So, and I think there are ways to do it. I don't know that I've ever seen them do it effectively, but I think there are ways of having the champions float. They're doing it right now with Sasha and Bayley, and actually, I think it's been kind of effective. I like having Sasha and Bayley show up on SmackDown and on Raw and show up in NXT and make me cry. And, you know, like, I like the fact that they can go anywhere, because it means that your champions not only, you know, have championship belts, which is important and prestigious, but it puts them in a different position to anyone else on the roster, because they are available to all brands and can defend them kind of across border lines or whatever. And it makes them feel more important just by virtue of they could show up anywhere, too.
100%. We do have 75 questions left. So
all right,
let's
go on.
Let's go on quick fire. Mystic wants to know, not going to give you a name, just Mystic. Just starting to try this whole wrestling podcast thing. My first few attempts have been very awkward. What did you guys do to try and get more comfortable with speaking into a mic?
Oh gosh, I was terrible when I started.
You weren't terrible.
I feel like I was terrible.
You were alarmingly good for someone who'd never done it before.
Okay, well thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like I was terrible when
anyway,
I listened
back to
that.
So
back to you.
I am, no, the best thing you can do, I hate the sound of my own voice. I used to hate the sound of my own voice. I used to hate seeing myself on camera. You just need to keep recording, you need to keep listening to yourself, because eventually the novelty of disliking your own voice fades away, and then you actually get to what you can critically kind of go, what are my problems? So, like, for me, I still, to this day, and ah a lot, and I've just kind of accepted that that's something I do, and it's, fuck it, I run my own thing, so I can do what I want.
I'm going to say like a whole bunch, I'm going to say a whole bunch, but as long as I don't let that interrupt my speech cadence, then I feel like it's not incredibly detrimental to the podcast. We're not in a position where we can edit out all of those things either. Like,
we also, yeah, we don't spend time. Here's the thing I would always say, I've said it from day one, it's very hard to start a podcast now. It's insanely difficult. We started a podcast when there wasn't really a lot of them. Wrestlers didn't have them yet, so we kind of lucked out. Like, I would hate to have to try and start one today. If you do start one, first of all, I think you need to do it because you want to do it, and not do it because you want it to be a fame thing. Because the chances of it becoming that are very slim. For me,
but if it's a creative outlet because you just want to talk about stuff and put it out, then
do
I think that's awesome. And like for me, honestly, like sometimes I still do this, like, and you don't even know this, but sometimes when I'm watching the shows, I'll like have the conversation with myself in my head and then also out loud if I'm home by myself, or Mr. Saunders doesn't care because he knows I'm crazy anyway. so like, or sometimes like I will have a conversation with Mr. Saunders and be like, does this make sense? And I'll kind of like feel out ideas and whatnot and actually have those conversations out loud with myself so I can kind of practice. If I have a big monologue or rant or something, sometimes you go through it.
It's difficult, especially when you get something you want to say and that's a couple of days later. I've known a couple of people over the last few years who have listened to Inside the Ropes. Robert and Kenny, Sondra and Kenny, Finn and Kenny, all the variations.
Basically, Kenny's always involved.
Sadly. and I know people who've started podcasts because they liked ours and then got very upset that theirs didn't take off and then stopped listening to ours. That has happened a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mouth a name, Sondra.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it took me a second to understand who you meant. But yeah, I do know.
So my advice would be, if you want a podcast and you're like, right, actually though, I really want it to gain some traction, I think you have to try to be funny and informative.
And I think you have to find a niche too, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Inside the Ropes had that way before I came along. I mean, I just kind of lucked into, I don't know, hopping aboard the train after it was already started. But you kind of have to find your own voice and find what makes you unique in the world of wrestling podcasting, because there are so many to choose from that it's difficult if you're just like another dude on the internet.
Yeah, but
but that doesn't mean don't do it, because if it's a creative outlet for you, then that's awesome.
But we both have our insecurities. I mean, I feel like I'm across too many podcasts. We've both before had conversations about Retrorog, when are we engaging in the format the way we do it, because of where we both come from about it. So I think it's healthy to kind of critique yourself, but yeah, you just need to keep listening to yourself, and then you'll start to develop what your actual criticisms would be that are valid.
And listen back to yourself. Like, sometimes I think I've done an awful podcast, and those are the ones I listen back to try and figure out what I've done poorly. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was, which is always helpful.
Yeah. 74 left. Jason, how would Kenny feel if Kofi wins against Brian, but Hogan pulls a WrestleMania 9? Oh, God. I mean, it's so funny. Like, but you've got to put this in context, right? Because the WrestleMania 9 joke is there, and I get why it's there. But to be serious, Bret Hart won the WWF title in October of 92 from Ric Flair. And then what happened was Bret Hart was given really crap opponents. You know, he's beaten like Virgil and Skinner and Papa Shango. Nobody main event, right? And his run was a bomb. And it wasn't. He had a great match with Razor Ramon at the Royal Rumble, but that was it. He was a mid-card guy. He wasn't a believable champion. The tickets to WrestleMania 9 were not selling, so they put the belt back on Hogan. That's what happened. Now, if you hate Hogan, it's going to fit your narrative to be like, why did he do that? It happened because they needed it to be a short-term thing. And then eventually, Bret got his run at WrestleMania 10 and he won the title, yada, yada, yada. Kofi Kingston needs to win the belt. I mean, you know, David said he thinks he shouldn't win the belt. I think he should. I think that at the very least he deserves a Christian kind of run from 2011 when he wins the title. I said it over to you. I don't know if Kofi has got the longevity to be a long-term champion. We just watched the segment from him on SmackDown. I think it was a passionate promo. I don't know if it was a great promo, because I don't think he's used to doing these big monologues, and that's maybe part of what feels authentic about him, is that he's being honest.
I think it showed that he's capable of handling himself in a speaking environment, though. Like, he's not going out there and completely deer in the headlights. Like, he can speak with passion and he can get promos across.
But the question is, would you be okay if him and Hulk Hogan celebrated at the end? Just nod. We just need that. We just need a visual nod.
No, no, I super wouldn't.
What if they
said, the fact that it's Hulk Hogan specifically, and that it's Kofi Kingston specifically,
said,
and that it's this story specifically.
You have two choices.
And that it's the New Day specifically.
Brian wins, and Kofi never gets a shot. Or Kofi wins, but Hogan celebrates with him afterwards.
Wouldn't that be the most WWE thing of all time? Wouldn't it be?
So good.
Oh, it would be so much.
John Chalmers, which do you think is the bigger injustice? Becky not winning or Kofi not winning? Very good question.
Well, it's interesting because it depends on how I look at it. I think, honestly, or how it's booked. At this point, given the stories they're telling, I have to go with Kofi. Which is weird because I want Becky Lynch to win so badly. Like, so badly. I think this needs to be the culmination of her story. I think that she needs to be the double champion. I think she needs to raise both belts high and tap out blonde ladies and, you know, just be amazing, right? Like, Becky Lynch took the company by storm and she was the biggest star in the company.
This is all why I'm worried for Seth Rollins.
Well, fuck Seth Rollins at this point. We're talking about Kofi and Becky. Honestly, yeah. If one of them has to lose, it has to be Seth. I'm sorry. I don't like Brock Lesnar. I don't like his title reign, but whatever. It's an inevitability and we've gotten used to the pain. Here comes the pain and we're used to it. But no, like with the story that they're telling with Kofi being the underdog and with him being the person who has been held down by the company and with him being the one that's been held down by Vince specifically, and especially with all of the racial overtones in the story, I think Kofi Kingston needs to win that belt on Sunday. And that's coming from me, who's like the biggest Daniel Bryan fan ever. Kenny and I were just watching the main event contract signing segment together, and it is crazy for me looking at Daniel Bryan with his vegan warrior belt with turquoise in it and hemp and all the good stuff. And like, I'm cheering against Daniel Bryan. It goes against everything I think and everything I know. But the way the story has been told, Kofi Kingston needs to win and he needs to triumph over the Evil Corporation and over Vince McMahon and make all of this worth it.
Then we have Carlos, aka Breaker of Ropes. Carl Pierce, I think. Is it?
Yes.
Yes. Just put Carl. My God, how many names? Would you have put Asuka in the main event instead of Charlotte defeating her? And why would you or wouldn't you?
The thing with Asuka is tricky, right? Because I think that if they would have added Asuka to the main event as well, I think it would have watered it down. But I think that Charlotte having the belt also waters it down. I think that Charlotte beating Asuka and then Asuka not being added to it is just a really big bummer as a fan of Asuka as a performer. I don't have a good solution because they've taken the good solutions away from me. Right? So I don't think that she should be added because the story is so clearly between Charlotte and Becky and Ronda. I would also love for Asuka to have a moment. I don't even know at this point. The Asuka thing is so sad.
I loved her on SmackDown, though. Beating the shit out of guys.
She was great.
She was great.
She's amazing. So, you know who else is great on SmackDown?
Nikki Cross.
Nikki Cross, yeah. Who should be facing Asuka at this WrestleMania.
No,
but
she should
be
facing Shelton Benjamin.
You know, I'm here for it.
WrestleColor wants to know, I've never been more sure of any question that I've ever seen be asked. Does Sondra have any interest in doing a retro Nitro?
Are you kidding? Have you met me? No.
Do you know how hard it is to get her to commit to spending a couple hours with friends once a quarter for WCW?
Okay, to be fair, it's 5 hours.
How is it 5 hours?
Because it's 3 hours watching the pay-per-view and 2 hours recording.
Well, you know, look.
And it's always at times that don't suit me because, like, Asad lives in fucking Dubai.
Well, next time, you just need to make sure, you just go, guys, I can do it at this time on this date.
Which is essentially what I did this past time, and then I still got chastised, but then I got sick, and it was just a whole thing. I'm not doing Retro Nitro, no, not happening.
Teddy Dactyl, what's next for Kofi after Mania? Still feuding with Brian, if not Brian, who do you want to be in a program with? I think that who he may be in a program with, which I think would be great, is Randy Orton. Because they've got the history from 2009 to 2010. Orton, you know, basically killed his push, and it'd be a good story of Kofi, of, you know, kind of Orton being like, okay, Kofi, well done getting the belt, let's bring it home to a main event talent.
I think that actually could be brilliant as long as Kofi beats him. Because if Kofi doesn't beat him, oh man, the rage I would have about Randy Orton. But yeah, I mean, Randy Orton's a good shout. Maybe Samoa Joe would also be very interesting.
Michael Burns wants to know, how does Sondra feel about The Undertaker potentially being the one to interrupt Elias?
I don't care.
But would it anger you, or would you be like...
No, if he's interrupting Elias, I don't care. People want to see his entrance, it's fine.
Also, if I was to run into either of you in New York over the weekend, are you hug, handshake, or high-five kind of people?
I'm a hug person. If you're not, like, a creepy, like, dude who's my dad's age and, like, looking at my tits the whole time.
I'll hug you even if you're that guy. yeah, I'm a hugger. That's fine. We will do some sort of meet-up, but we just need to figure out when. So.
Yeah.
We'll tweet it out whenever we're going to a bar. Maybe it'll probably be after Takeover on Friday night.
That's kind of what I was thinking
that's
is the best time.
Yeah.
Because then we'll be around for sure.
Pronounce that name.
Is it Achilles? Achilles? It looks like Achilles, but
Achilles
there's an A in there.
Zugri.
I apologize if we're butchering your name.
Is there any real possibility to have Kofi, Seth, and Becky win on Sunday? As much as I want Seth to win, I see the people last year. Thanks and keep up the good work. Thank you, Achilles. I think Seth is the one that's in the most trouble, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that, is there a possibility of them all winning? Yes, there's a possibility of anything. Anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. They don't tend to make us this happy, but I guess ideally, and maybe this is just, you know, me being a mark or whatever, but I think it would be great to give the fans a super feel-good WrestleMania, because we haven't had one in a very long time. And I think that's something WWE could do for the fan base and make us a little, you know, just send us home happy. But I think Seth is the one who's in the most trouble.
Rob Smith with a Y. What are your expectations from the Raw and SmackDown after Mania?
I don't really have many expectations. I'm sure there will be some surprises. I'm sure there'll be some call-ups. But again, we have the shakeup the next week, right? Isn't it the very next week in Montreal?
Yep.
So I don't know how many call-ups we're going to get at these particular shows. They always want to have some in front of a, you know, rabid crowd of people who travel to be there. I guess I go into those shows without many expectations and just kind of going along for the ride.
I don't know if I don't really know if we're going to get a lot of debuts. I think Shayna's probably most likely. God, I hope so. Jesus.
Yeah.
If
she loses the title first, though, because I don't want her to be champion and then also debut,
and then we get into that conundrum.
So,
Dre Warner, thin crust or deep dish?
Deep dish. Hardcore. I'm a Chicago girl.
I'm a thin crust guy, mainly because I like a lot of sides with my pizza. So I like pizza with fries or chips. I like pizza with garlic bread. So like when I'm having the pizza, if it's thin crust, I psychologically feel like I'm eating less pizza, even though I'm eating the same. So it helps me be able to really... eat as much food as
you want. I want my pizza to be all-encompassing. I want everything in there. I want as much going on as possible.
Can we still talk about pizza?
Yeah, well, and other things. But I grew up near Chicago. I have to be a deep dish person.
Lewis Barrett Conlon, Mania matches that exceeded your expectations or that underwhelmed? One of the biggest underwhelming matches of all time, Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't... Unless I'm watching WrestleMania 34, like... I tend to stick WrestleMania. I don't know if you do. Sometimes I'll stick a WrestleMania on in the background in the lead up to it. Just kind of tiff something on. And maybe that way I'd see AJ and Nakamura again. But I can honestly say that their series of matches is something I will never watch again.
And nor should you, because there's no reason to rewatch it again. That's not really something I do just because there's so much wrestling to watch. And if I'm going to stick something on in the background, it's probably going to be like indie stuff. But I'm trying to think like most underwhelming.
Like AJ and Shane exceeded.
AJ and Shane was going to be my answer. That was going to be my answer. It's hard for me to remember because I'm trying to even remember what matches have happened at WrestleManias.
Did Raw Kinetic Rowan exceed their underwhelm?
Fuck off. I don't like reliving that moment. It's, you know what I realized? Speaking of, it is a terrible idea to be in the Wyatt family and also want to have WrestleMania be a thing for you.
Yeah?
Because look at Braun Strowman currently. He has had 3 WrestleManias in a row, which have been completely underwhelming. And he was a Wyatt family member, too. I mean, Bray Wyatt has never fared well at WrestleMania. Luke Harper and Eric Rowan have never fared well. Has Luke Harper ever even competed at WrestleMania?
He was in the 6-way ladder match in San Jose.
Okay, yeah. He defended then.
And then he won the tag titles last year with Rowan as the Bludgeons.
Oh, yeah.
I come prepared, folks.
Anyway,
Sean,
but it's just underwhelming to be a Wyatt.
Sean asks, what's your WrestleMania sleeper match? Which one of the tournaments would be better than anticipated? I think it's AJ Norton. I think that could be the sleeper. What do you think? Is there a match at WrestleMania that people are thinking is going to be rubbish that you think could be pretty good?
Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese for me.
Okay. Callum Teeter, what do you think? Who do you think will interrupt Elias at WrestleMania? I think it'll be Kevin Owens, and he'll come out, and then Steve Austin will come out, and they'll have a WrestleMania. Who do you think is going to interrupt Elias?
I don't know. Again, like, this is one of those things I haven't really put thought into.
I think it could, I mean, like, I know you're going to hate it.
I think it could be Undertaker.
I think the one that makes the most sense, and I think the one it should be, is The Rock. Because The Rock did music before, and, like, I
think that would make sense.
That would be a great moment, and, like...
But then it would take 45 minutes.
I mean, it would take 45 minutes. Okay, here's the question. It's Undertaker or it's Rock. You get the power to pick. Who?
If the Undertaker doesn't speak, can that be a provision?
I mean, he never speaks.
I think I might pick Undertaker. Because if it's going to be The Rock, you know he's going to cut a promo on his candy ass, and he's going to Rudy poo all over the place, and SmackDown Hotel, and maybe I'm just having flashbacks to the Rage Party right now, but no, Rock, just stay away.
Joe Nichols wants to know...
We have a movie star on WrestleMania, and he's called Dave Bautista, and he's the best.
Kiss my ass. What do you think of Joe Nicholson wants to know? Joe Nicholson was born in 1995.
That's... disgusting.
Fucking hell, twinks rule the world. what do you think the feuds will be coming out of Mania? Adam Benning, his name was, who we like shamed it over to you, and I was like, he looks like a pure twink, tweeted me, and he was like, I've never had shame like it. I was like, you're lucky I'm not 10 years younger than him.
I was going to say, coming from you, twink is not an insult.
No.
Not at all. It's
not. But Joe Nicholson says, what do you think the feuds will be coming out of Mania for the major titles in WWE? Potentially NXT call-ups get big pushes straight away. So, okay, I'm going to rattle through names. Just give me a name. Brock wins. Who do you think he's facing next?
Who could possibly care? It's Brock Lesnar as champion.
It's Roman.
It's Roman, yes.
If Seth wins, who's he face next?
Roman?
Kofi?
Orton? Because you said it before. I'm the worst at these types of questions.
Becky.
You know. Nikki Cross.
Okay.
I'm going to die on the cell. I'm okay with it.
Craig, will Flair blade the No-Holds Barred match WrestleMania? I think he'll try. I think he'll do everything in his power to blade.
Probably. I mean, doesn't he like basically bleed when he sneezes? So.
Anthony Tallarito, this is a good one for you. Favorite moments from Retro Raw that you've covered so far? A couple of moments that you really loved watching on the journey.
The first time I saw the Stalker was instrumental.
Fox.
To my enjoyment of Retro Raw. But you should be glad that I got as excited about the Stalker as I did, because Retro Raw was pretty terrible at that point, but every time he appeared, I got excited.
Sid was on it.
Well, yeah.
Sid was in the main event.
Sid was awesome. Actually, Sid hitting a cameraman with a camera and then getting cheered for it was awesome.
Can you give me one from 1998? You just watched the whole year. Give us a 1998 moment that you liked.
I liked when Jackie and Terry turned on men before they became PMS and were awful, but I liked when they were great. I also liked the mixed tag at WrestleMania with Sable and Mark Miro and the artist formerly known as Goldust and Luna. Oh, Goldust reading Crazy Nights and Ham was great.
Yep, I was going to do it, but I'm not going to. Cammy Hutton wants to know, with Brian not going to Saudi Arabia, do you think it's guaranteed Kofi will win on Sunday? I think Kofi's winning anyway, but I don't think Brian's going.
I don't think he's going to Saudi Arabia, and I don't think that it's a guarantee of anything, though, because I think they can write around it.
Anthony Fitzpatrick, what t-shirts will you be wearing for TakeOver and Mania? Are you going to buy new ones? I need to go to the Superstore and see what's on offer before I make a decision.
Undecided. I might be wearing my amazing shirt, my Gulak shirt, because I am also going to Chikara and Black Label on the day of TakeOver, so there's no opportunity for me to change my shirt, and I might be wearing that one. WrestleMania, I'm undecided. It might just be one of the indie ones I have in my bag.
Adric Mason, if Dean is going, will they give him a farewell? No.
No.
Kyle, if you could each grab dinner with someone from the wrestling business and drinks with another, who would they be and why? I'd definitely do drinks with Cena. See if I can get some bants out of him. I would do dinner with... I would do dinner with Stephanie, because I'd try to crack through the exterior. And I'd do drinks with Vince every day.
Oh yeah, that'd be amazing.
Vince, once when he was pissed, let the Road Warriors do the Doomsday Device on him.
Which is incredible.
I'm going drinking with Vince.
Yeah, no, drinking with Vince sounds amazing. I would do dinner with Mike Quackenbush because, again, like, he is the person I would love to pick his brain in wrestling.
I mean, you'd pick one that we could realistically make happen at some point in life.
Yeah, like, that could theoretically... Like, either Mike Quackenbush or William Regal would be my two dinner options. Drinks... I don't know. There are so many. I would love to go drinking with Nikki Bella.
Oh, and vacay. Anyway, Robert Fletcher, if Pete Dunne loses the championship, should he move to NXT in the US on a full-time basis? Well, I think he doesn't need to. He can. They tape once a month. He could just do that and NXT UK.
Yeah.
Lloyd, Shag Mary Kill, Stevie Ray, Marty Jannetty, and Devon Dudley. Is euthanasia an option?
I mean, I have barely seen Stevie Ray do anything other than stand near Booker T. I've seen very little of Devon Dudley's career. I know that he is meant to get the tables. And who was the other one? Marty Jannetty?
Yeah. I'll take this one. Stevie Ray, Shane McHale. Oh, God. I mean, there's a lot of black dick in this question.
Yeah, which is great.
No, it's not. If it was young, hot black dick, it'd be good.
Fair.
It is not. I would marry Devon Dudley because I think he'd be fun and I think that we could both go to the Golden Corral for dinner, which I would appreciate.
Discount on your birthday.
Yep. Marty Jannetty, I would shag Marty Jannetty because I think that I could make him... I think that he's so fucked up on drugs that it'd be so quick that it wouldn't really feel like anything. And then I'd kill Stevie Ray because there's no way I'm letting him and his penis anywhere near me.
I would shag Stevie Ray, marry Devon Dudley, and kill Marty Jannetty? I don't know.
Jack Frost, should I buy blue or black Converse high top? Black, 100%.
Really?
Well, it depends what shade of blue we're talking
about. I would go blue. I mean, I'm a fan of colored Chucks, though.
But you don't want to do, like, royal blue.
Oh, see, I was thinking the brighter blue, the better.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
But, I mean, I'm sitting here literally recording, and I'm wearing pink Chucks, so...
Jen, our own Jen asks,
oh, Jen.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much I regret not coming to New York?
10. You regret it because we are here and we miss you.
Dave Gill, SummerSlam 89 memories because Brutus, I mean, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, it's the greatest night of his career. It's great. We do 10 more minutes of these because Son needs to go. Michael Capella, that's not a question. Okay, Matthew from Watchmania, favourite Bond film? I've only ever seen Casino Royale, so I guess by default. No! Sorry. GoldenEye. Pierce Brosnan. Tina Turner doing GoldenEye. I mean, that's an absolute one. You've never seen a Bond film, have you?
I saw Casino Royale, and I thought Vespa was really hot. I'm just not really much of a Bond person. I enjoyed Quantum of Solace as well, because Daniel Craig was naked and got hit in a chair one time.
Duncan Mason asks, what's your thoughts on how WWE views Asuka? Listen to our last 4
It is podcast. Terrible. I want to yell.
Ben Price, I don't know any of this. Do you know Pokemon?
No.
He says, which Pokemon would make the best wrestler? Pikachu, because that's the only one I know.
I genuinely have no idea. I mean, the most Pokemon exposure I've had has been people sending me Scottish Pokemon memes that don't sound Scottish at all, and I get annoyed by them because I'm like, why does this sound like an Irish person talking? Who is writing these?
Dano says, in alternative, which wrestler would make the best Pokemon? We don't watch Pokemon or play it.
We don't. I apologize. Like, that's just a gap in my geek cred.
Steve Gunn's got, like, an app where you do Pokemon whenever
the Pokemon
you are.
Go?
Yeah. If only he was here. Andrew says, what are your opinions of Jericho being banned with Billy Gunn isn't, and he's going to the Hall of Fame, even though they're both on AEW? Look, Jericho is not banned. Jericho signed a multi-million dollar deal with a rival organization, and then he didn't get wrestlers from WWE in a podcast. That's not banned.
Are they going to bar him from events? What is he even saying? I haven't really paid much attention
to Jericho
this.
Asked for some guys to go on his podcast to promote WrestleMania, and they said no because he's with AEW.
That's not being banned from WWE. It's
like,
not like if he shows up, they're going to chuck him out the door.
Yeah, I mean, he's not banned.
Just don't be Enzo Amore and try to disrupt the show.
F.L. Lavery, favorite WWE movie that isn't Fighting With My Family? There was one that I actually quite liked. It was Halle Berry and David Otunga.
The Call.
The Call.
I never saw it, but I remember the ads. I haven't seen many of them. I've only seen a couple really bad ones. I saw Knucklehead, and it is atrocious. Mr. Sonder actually watched it and wrote an article about it at one point as a bad movie sort of thing. But I don't know that I've really seen it. No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred
is my answer. 100%. I love that movie.
It's so good. Oh, did you see... So today, Tom Downey randomly sends me a Facebook DM and goes, oh, by the way, go on to Tiny Lister's Instagram. And I go, okay. He's got a video of him having a wank.
What?
Literally balls as I went there. I was like, why did you send me that? And he was
like,
yeah, I'm not even kidding.
That's one of those situations where I'm like, I don't necessarily want to see that, but I might look it up because I'm morbidly curious. But I don't think I want to see it.
I saw the balls and I never clicked play.
That's, wow. That's interesting.
John Adams asks, thought on the Jake Roberts-George Wells match in WrestleMania 2? I think what should happen with that is just it will be a whole podcast. Because, you know, the amount of thoughts I've got about George Wells and his match with Jake Roberts at WrestleMania 2 can't be contained to one podcast, Sandra.
I mean, the look I'm giving Kenny is, was that a match that actually happened?
So obviously,
who is George Wells?
Sandra has clearly not listened to the Power Slam Overrun or the Power Slam podcast.
I can't listen to the Power Slam Overrun.
You know, because we always do up until...
Yeah.
Up until the
is
back
this a
issue.
Recent Power Slam Overrun?
Last week's.
Oh, well, I'm behind on that.
Up next, we've got 5 minutes, or just over, and my phone said lock. Mike Mears, of Mike Mears fame. Will you make a comeback in Hotel Pro Wrestling? Ask me as someone who's never seen you have a match. Also, can you go have a Sparrow and a cheap hot dog for me? Yes, on the second one. Look, it's all about the money and the miles. And
I mean, the caveat this year is that we're not staying in a hotel, we're staying in a flat, so... There is always a contractual out for you if you wanted to return to apartment competition but not hotel room competition.
That, yeah, I've got an out. But, you know, like, have I been working out? Yes. Am I jacked? Yes. But, you know, stop asking me these questions. Oliver Drake asks, any news on an ITR meetup this week? We're going to do one after TakeOver in Brooklyn, walking distance from Barclays. So we will have the information up tomorrow about where we're going to be and then come say hi.
It'll be fun.
But, like, come say hi. Let's have a chat. Don't linger. The linger is the problem.
Well,
some
I mean, people can linger and drink in the bar wherever we are. It's not like they have to leave.
No, linger in the area. But, because when I was at Walk Culture, sometimes people linger at you.
Oh, I'm aware of the lingering at
so,
you.
What I would say is I'm really good for, like, 3-4 minutes. And then I kind of, like, I just don't know what else to do. Sandra, she's good.
I mean, once I have, like, a drink in me... And if you're talking about something that I'm also interested in talking about, I can talk forever. So
Stratos
it's fine.
Says, are you excited as KJ and Ollie for Avengers Endgame? I'm not, but I will go and see it.
I am so excited. Okay, like, this is going to floor you. I said to Mr. Sandra yesterday, I cannot wait to see the movie. I cannot wait until the Tuesday when we both have the night off. Maybe we should go to a 10:45 a.m. showing of Avengers Endgame so that we can see it earlier on in the weekend. You know how little I like to be awake at 10:45 in the morning.
You don't even come to your job at 10:45 in the morning?
I'm saying, but that's how committed I am to Avengers Endgame. I have been, like, salivating for this film for a year. I am so excited about it. Like, I'm jumping out of my skin waiting to find out what happens, and there is no way I'm risking spoilers. So, yeah, like, I might actually haul my ass out of bed early just to go see this film before work on a night. And I'm so excited, Kenny.
Jay Stodd, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen ricochet?
Ricochet threw me because I was going to be like African or European, but he's from Paducah.
How is he from Kentucky? I don't
Paducah,
know.
Kentucky.
He's from the same state as Jim Cornette. How does this work?
The thing is, like, I go to Paducah, Kentucky every year. There are not many people there who look like British.
No,
anyone
you ask
that it's right across the river from Metropolis.
No matter what, but of all the people in the world who would go to Paducah, Kentucky, it would be you.
Yes, of course.
Lewis Balfour wants to know, what does Sandra think of the women's titles being unified? Should the tag titles be unified while we're at it? Revival versus Usos at WrestleMania would have been both the tits and the balls.
Honestly, if any of the women's titles are going to be unified, the men should as well. I think that unifying the women's titles at this point, and Kenny and I disagree on this, I think that unifying the women's titles at this point is just an excuse to continue shitty behavior and having fewer women on your show. So if you're going to unify anything, make it U.S. and Intercontinental Championships or the tag titles, that kind of thing. I would like to see those unified before the women's championships or just unify all of them. I wouldn't be against that.
And then the last two questions we have. Stephen Ross says, considering the build has been pretty solid, the great promo work from both men who appear very motivated. Well, this is an AJ Norton. We're into AJ Norton. They've won us round. Sam Aldridge, we don't. Favorite actor that plays Bond, Pierce Brosnan, just out of, like, love. Next Level Guy, will you come on my podcast as a guest? Sure, give us some time and we will. Jordan Neal, finally, I'm going to throw this to you because you know more than me. How would Avengers Endgame finish if Vince McMahon was the director?
Oh, gosh. I feel like Thanos would probably stand tall. Honestly, like, considering a lot of the things that Vince McMahon has done. Or, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of who else would come in as, like, a swerve or something. But I feel like Thanos might just win in the end, like, in Endgame. Because they would still be trying to build heat for the next movie, brother. And then by that point, everyone would have tuned out and not cared about the story anymore.
Okay, so that's pretty much... Where are you going tonight?
Tonight I'm going to Pizza Party Wrestling in Ridgefield, New Jersey. And I'm super excited. It's one of those, like, weird offshoot indie shows where they're, you know, serving pizza. And it kind of has something for everyone. Like, I'm really looking forward to Ophidian versus Pizza Cat, who is also Shotzi Blackheart. I'm looking forward to the London Street Fight featuring Roy Gulak. I am looking forward to, there's a like a four-way tag match that I'm really looking forward to, Jeremy Leary, and I keep wanting to say Blanche Babbage, so it's her name and Chikara are in that. Yeah, so just fun little indie show that I'm super stoked.
It's going to be a fun week. Alexa, play You Spin Me Round by Dead or Alive.
Here's You Spin Me Round, Like a Record, by Dead or Alive on Amazon Music.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Like a Record.
Whatever you are, whatever you're doing, wrestling's fun. Spin yourself round, have a dance. That's what it's about. Here to play us out is Dead and Alive. Sandra, what are the plugs quickly?
Okay. All right, sure. Follow me at SandraRuthRW. Follow Kenny at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. Tons of 7-day-7 podcast content going up there. YouTube.com/InsideTheRopes for interview content and vlogs from our WrestleMania Week adventures. And InsideTheRopes.co.uk for tickets to live events.
That's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with PowerSlam on Patreon. Tons more coming. Enjoy WrestleMania Week. Watch stuff at home. Get snacks. It'll be fun. Bye, everybody.
Bye.